This is Conversations with Safe Harbor Therapy, where your friendly practitioners from Safe Harbor Therapy Center come together to discuss life, wellness, and other topics that are important to you. Our team at Safe Harbor Therapy Center offers health and wellness services for body, mind, and soul to clients in Winnipeg and the surrounding areas. And I am Carmen Okmatovsky, marriage and family therapist and director of Safe Harbor Therapy Center. Welcome to the conversation. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with Safe Harbor Therapy. I am Carmen Okmatovsky, your host, and I am here today with two of the practitioners from Safe Harbor Therapy. First, we have Roz Boning, who is a Reiki master and Theta Healing practitioner. Roz is also a parent of a very energetic 7-year-old and has been working in energy work for a few years. Roz, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Carmen. Hi, everyone.
And then we're also here with Chantal Neufeld. Chantal is a hypnotherapist and works with the lens of IFS. Chantal is a parent to 3 adult children. Welcome, Chantal.
Nice to be here.
So I wanted to start a little bit with how I met both of you, because I think that the people who work here at Safe Harbor are really special, so I wanted to just sort of catch everyone up to speed. So I met Roz about two years ago, and I put out an ad that we're looking for practitioners of various sorts, and Roz answered that ad.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I saw the ad on a social media platform, and I was pretty much a few months out of having my Reiki master certification, and I was looking to sort of get out there and practice because I really, really love it. And I saw the ad and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna give it a try. Who knows, you know? Even if I get rejected, not a big deal, because at least I put myself out there. And then I came in for an interview with Carmen, and it was just really great, and it's such a great community here at Safe Harbor, so, I mean, what did you think of me?
You know, it was really special to meet you, because I had requests from several people who were advertising Reiki services, and the energy had never sat right with me, and I was kind of like, man, I've interviewed a bunch of people who do Reiki, and I can't seem to find one whose energy matches and who I feel really comfortable with. And when I met you, there was just like such a lightness and a joy with you, and like a love that came off of you, and I was like, yes, whatever that is the energy that we want for our Reiki therapist.
Thank you, Carmen. I mean, I definitely practice from a place of unconditional love, acceptance, and understanding. So I try to bring that to whatever I'm doing, so including this podcast. So, yeah, thanks.
All right, and then Chantal, we have an interesting background, because you only just started at Safe Harbor a few months ago, but you and I go back about what?
Eight years or so? Yeah.
I think your Facebook memories popped up a picture of us 8 years ago.
We were going out for coffee.
Yeah, and we had met in a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And then I knew you were a practitioner. We did a podcast together at the beginning of COVID in 2020 that I'm not sure ever got actually posted. I think the file got deleted or something. But and then a couple months ago, you approached me to bring your practice to Safe Harbor.
Yeah. I'm so excited to be here. It's been great. Everyone's like so welcoming, and like you said about the unconditional love and support, I feel like the more we offer that to ourselves, that unconditional love, the more it just spills over to everyone that we come in contact with. I feel like rapport is one of the most important aspects to healing and to therapy, and so, yeah.
Alright. So today, the theme that you both identified was relaxed and resourceful. So we're here to talk a little bit about what each of you do, and then the thing that you both feel like your work has in common is clients being in a relaxed and resourceful state. Yeah. So Roz, would you mind telling us a little bit about like what is Reiki and how do, and theta healing, and how do you do that work?
Yep, so I can definitely tell you. So Reiki and Theta Healing are both considered energy work. So I work with a person's energy, their energy field, how their energy is working within the body, and also throughout the subconscious. So Reiki is an energy healing modality that is a really great complementary therapy for many different things. And how Reiki works is, so I am just the practitioner, I'm the conduit kind of for universal life force energy that is really all around us, within us, and tapping into that energy and then bringing it into your body and into your space so you can release and let go of negative or stagnant energy that is in the body so it can be moved out and bring in more positive, light energy and space for you to create new types of energy within your own self. So it's a really great way to sort of assist in self-healing, get healing and relaxation throughout the body. And how a Reiki session works is, so I am a hands-on Reiki practitioner. I lightly put my hands on different parts of your body to increase and encourage the energy flow. And a session can range between, say, 40 minutes to an hour and a half, maybe even longer if that's what you like. But it really does help bring energy throughout the body and move out things. You know, if you've got pains that don't seem to want to go away, if there's stuck emotions and other areas of the body, it sort of helps bring all that through and creates a space for you to self-heal. Mm-hmm. So Reiki is just really amazing for that. And I'll just say, as we were talking a little bit before, when we were setting up for this, I sometimes get intuitive messages during my Reiki sessions as well, mm-hmm. because the body has its own energy signature. And so sometimes things will come through about something that happened to your wrist when you were a little kid, or maybe there's a stuck emotion, or the energy really doesn't lie. So when we can start to move through that energy, it creates just this amazing space. So that's Reiki. And of course, during that session, you don't really have to do anything. You just lie down on a table, feeling relaxed, taking a few deep breaths. And then I do the work and I go around and move things around. And all I ask of a client is to just notice where maybe they feel it in the body and feel as relaxed as possible. And I'd say like almost half my clients on the table fall asleep. So really, really nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
And then did you want me to talk about theta as well too?
Yeah,
okay. So I also do theta healing, which is actually the first thing that I ever got trained in after I had this sort of spiritual awakening moment at the tail end of COVID. And theta healing works with the theta brainwave. So it's your subconscious. And what theta does is, myself as the practitioner and you as the client, we connect with creator, creator, spirit, God, however you want to phrase it. And you yourself as a client don't have to believe in God or creator, but it's still, we connect through that. So instead of me coming directly into your space and into your energetic and internal systems, we go through creator with a theta brainwave. So we connect, it gets you into a relaxed and resourceful state, and we start to dig deep for some original things that might be causing patterns in your life that you want to address or end. Maybe you want to bring new things into your life, so you want to manifest good things or change, and then we work together to release those original feelings and thoughts and bring in new things, which is super cool. So yeah, that's theta healing. It can be really transformational and really interesting. So yeah.
What do you love about your work?
I really love the change that I see in my clients. I really love the being able to connect with someone and connect with their energy and to be able to help them move forward in their life and be able to heal and maybe even bring in like self-healing as well. And because it's such a great complementary therapy, it can really help with so many things. So if you're in talk therapy, you can help with creating space in your body for that. It's that's what I really love about this work. And I think that as energetic beings, we all need to take care of our own energy.
Yeah.
And energy healing and energy work really does help that aspect. And we don't always think about that as a part of a wellness or a health sort of package or, I don't know what you'd
comprehensive
call it.
Approach.
Comprehensive approach.
Like when you say it's a complementary therapy, do you mean like if somebody's feeling a blockage or like they can't move forward with their talk therapy or they're not getting somewhere or they feel like there's like an elephant in the room but nobody knows what it is, that's the kind of thing that they could bring to you and say, here, help me clear whatever energy this is?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And so Reiki would help address the energy where it's sitting in the body directly, and then Theta Healing would also go and start to go to, so where did those first feelings happen, and being able to release those in a really healthy and cohesive way, and not just release but bring in new energy into that spot where it was.
Important not to just leave a vacuum of space, hey?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never want to leave someone exposed. What we do at the beginning of a Reiki and a Theta session is we open up the space, we protect the space, we cleanse it, we start, and then at the end we finish, and then I cleanse and clear the space. I make sure that your energy is zipped up, my energy is zipped up,
yeah.
So we're not exchanging energy anymore,
right.
Too. So, yeah.
All right. And then, Chantel, I'm going to move over to you. So you are a hypnotherapist. What brought you to that? And can you tell us? I have questions about hypnotherapy,
yes.
So let's start with that.
What would you like to know about it?
Okay, I would like to know, first of all, what is hypnotherapy?
Hypnotherapy is accessing the subconscious mind through imagination. So whether that's visualization, you know, guided meditation, relaxation, all that stuff.
Okay. So not long ago, I was on probably Instagram, and I saw this stage performer, and he had like 10 people hypnotized. Half of them were slumped in their chairs asleep. And whenever he would go to these like people who were in their 20s and he would say, what's your name, they would laugh hysterically. And to be really honest, it's terrifying when you're watching something like this. You're like, why are these people completely out of control of their bodies and of their minds? And I think a lot of people, when they think of hypnosis, that's the kind of thing that comes to mind, is like the performative type of hypnosis. And so my guess is that what you do is very different from that sort of thing. Like, can you tell me, like, what's the difference between those?
Okay, well, you know, stage hypnosis is for entertainment, and hypnotherapy is for healing. So I guess what people don't know about the stage hypnotists is that they really carefully select the people that they bring on stage. They have many questions for the audience, and they kind of test them ahead of time to see how not only susceptible the people are, but how much they really want to be on stage and how much they really want to look like a fool in front of everybody. Like, that's their cup of tea, that's their personality.
Yeah.
So it's not like a hypnotist or hypnotherapist could make anyone do anything they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that was the case, the world would look a lot different.
I sure would, yeah.
Like, my parenting would be completely different. But no, even though I'm trained in, you know, how to address the subconscious, you still can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. What I like about hypnotherapy is that it actually puts people more in control of themselves, because often they come to me where they have like this habit that they want to break or something new they want to start, and they're like, why can't I just do what I set out to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a subconscious block. And so the questions that I ask and like the relaxation techniques I use just help them find that subconscious block and shift it to what they want instead. So hypnosis at its core is just a tool, and it can be used for good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like we were talking
yeah.
earlier, you know, like it like pastors can use it, politicians
yeah.
can use it, but healers can use it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just a tool.
Yeah. So what you do is not mind control.
No.
It is helping people access their own subconscious so that they have access to all of themselves and they can resource from all parts of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very important to be ethical and only go where the people want to
mm-hmm.
go. And like respect their religion or lack thereof, and just basically I ask a lot of questions, and it gets them to, you know, just go into the cave of their mind and see things and make changes that they wouldn't have necessarily known they could. So that's where we're talking about inner resources and relaxation and feeling more resourced.
Yeah. So both of you talked about the theta, well, I don't know, Chantal, if you mentioned theta state.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, there are different brainwave states. There's like the kind of brainwaves where you're really active and alert, and then there's the kind where you're fast asleep in your bed. So the theta brainwave state is in between. We were talking before, like you just bought a new house. Have you landed up at your old house by mistake yet?
Not yet.
It could happen.
But it absolutely
if you're
could.
In the theta brainwave state when you're driving. When you're watching a movie or you're reading a book and someone's trying to get your attention and you just don't hear them because you're so engrossed in your book, that state right before you fall asleep, if your partner's like, are you still awake? You know, I have a question. You're like, oh, man, I was almost asleep. Mm-hmm. Right? It's that state where you can still talk, but yet you're really sleepy. And when you wake up in the morning, your mind is just more open to suggestion.
So it's kind of like an in-between place between being fully conscious and fully unconscious.
I love listening to affirmations when I go to bed because it's like really just reprogramming my subconscious.
Okay. And so both of you take clients to a theta state, and you say that that's the place where they can become more resourced and relaxed.
Absolutely.
What's important about the theta state? Like, how is that relative to healing? Is it because of the resourcefulness?
I'd say the theta state it's related to resourcefulness for sure. It's also because your mind, your conscious mind, is not completely awake or completely alert, which can sometimes detract from what we're trying to do. Because when you're in your conscious state, you're really, you know, you're paying attention to everything, you're thinking about what you're going to have for dinner later today, you know, how you're going to get home, you know, you might have all of these different thoughts at once, and then so when you're coming from that sort of a beta brainwave and you enter into a theta state, it really becomes more of an inward journey. You're not so concerned with what's going on externally. It allows your brain to do reprogramming in just a different way that you couldn't necessarily do when you're fully conscious and like looking at things. So it kind of shifts your brain into a state of greater learning and greater access. So you can access things that maybe you haven't thought about in a long time, because, you know, our brains are just amazing organs, and anything or everything that has happened to us, even from birth or even before, is in there. So being in a theta brainwave, it gives you the ability to access those spots where you can find the greatest healing and the greatest releases.
Yeah, like when we're like fully in our conscious mind and our brainwave is like so alert and aware, we have, you know, that little voice in our head saying, but this, but this, but this. Well, when you're in a more relaxed state, then you can kind of, it slows down a bit. So the first answer that pops into your mind is always the right one when you're in hypnotherapy. Even if your conscious mind does pop up with a, but it could be this and it could be that, you don't go with the buts. You go with your first answer.
Yeah.
Because there's always a truth in that first answer.
So, Roz, before we started recording, you said healing can only happen in a relaxed and resourceful state. Can you talk to me a little bit more?
Sure. So I think the greatest healing and most healing can happen in a relaxed and resourceful state. And the reason I say that is because, so if you are running around and you're stressed or you're anxious and you're tense, and you try to relax, it's really hard to be able to do that without resources, right? And so those are outer resources or inner resources. And so by being in a theta brainwave or having Reiki or even having hypnotherapy or something that takes you out of that rush, stress sort of thing, so you can actually access those inner things that you want to adjust, those inner patterns from the first time that something happened, or just giving your body the opportunity to relax in a way where your energy can be accessed and moved around or shifted, is where the greatest healing takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think that, and that's why, you know, even after you have, say, a talk therapy session, you don't want to go into another one, like, right the next day. You need time to sort of think about it, relax,
process. Yeah,
and get into that resourceful state of mind where
mm-hmm.
you can see different perspectives or you can shift your energy. So that's why I think it's the best place
mm-hmm.
for healing to happen.
Well, and relaxing and resourceful, if you're relaxed, it usually indicates a degree of safety as well. Eh?
Yes, it does.
When you're in your conscious mind and just and doing talk therapy, sometimes, you know, scary stuff from the past can come up and it makes you really tense. But I find when I use like visualization, imagination, there's a lot of metaphors and symbols involved. It's not a lot of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like what color is this energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, transforming it using the elements, like a lot of, like I work with parts, like inner conflict, it's always different symbols that we use and trying to integrate those symbols. And yeah, I'm a very visual person, clairvoyant,
yeah.
I think in pictures, so visual people, this is the healing modality for you.
Yeah. Can you tell me how you as a hypnotherapist guide people into a theta state?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, there are many ways to do it, but my favorite way is, you know, a couple of deep breaths and just visualizing yourself going down a hill in whatever way your creative imagination wants to go down. You
that
can ski,
so
you can
relaxing.
Take a magic carpet, you can, you know, lower yourself down by basket, whatever your imagination comes up with. And then I count backwards from 10, and when you're at the bottom of the hill, you'll be in a safe place. And just take a journey. Everyone has like different inner landscapes and different kinds of walls or blocks, and we just use metaphors to navigate those and transform them. And I don't like to leave any empty spaces either. Like, I work with protective parts, and often they just need a different job. They're still doing the job that they were doing when we were kids and we needed them to be on the ball, but as adults we could give them a better job.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It sounds so relaxing. Like, I kind of want to do that myself, that visualization myself right now.
It's so nice. Just, I've also done the hill guided meditation because
mm-hmm.
it's a way to get into
mm-hmm.
the theta state, and it is so, so nice.
It's so
absolutely
relaxing.
Yeah.
What kind of transformation do you see happening through hypnotherapy?
Well, I guess I could just talk about my own transformation.
Sure.
I was just able to go back, like, using timeline therapy. So after I went down the hill,
mm-hmm.
me as the client, I, you know, was able to float above the timeline of my life. So, like, way up in the clouds, so I could, like, look down as if I could draw my timeline out before me, and I could go to the past comfortably because I was dissociated way up above my timeline, and I could give advice to my childhood self from my higher self,
mm-hmm.
and like reframe some of the ideas and beliefs that I had gotten back then, you know, whether it was I wasn't safe or my parents didn't love me or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and I could kind of rescue my inner child
mm-hmm.
in that way.
You could literally be the adult that you needed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's almost like a string of pearls. When you take that belief or release that emotion using the elements from that childhood event, it's like releases the whole string of pearls. So every other event in your life up until now, it reframes it just automatically. It releases the emotion from it. And then you can go into the future end of your timeline, and you can create a beautiful future for yourself just by visualizing what you'd like in the future. And this is all just using the power of your imagination. And people are like, well, you know, how do I do it? Do I do it right? And it's like, there is no right. It's just the imagination, but somehow it works.
Yeah. The power of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, like, that's how you access your subconscious. Like, even if you don't imagine yourself walking down a hill, anytime someone tells you a story at a coffee shop, you're in a hypnotic state if you're visualizing what the story that they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever is in control of the conversation and telling the story is the hypnotist in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like my kids say, it's not that deep.
Like, yeah, people actually say it's complicated or scary, but it's really not when you understand it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When you understand how the theta state operates
and how it accesses the subconscious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you feel that are aside from the stage performance hypnosis, and I'm wondering if either of you have what's the word? Stereotypes or misconceptions about your work that you might want to address.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mind control is like, and I'm just like, this will give you more control over your life, and I don't implant any of my own suggestions. It's all them. I'm just the person with the, I'm the tour guide with the flashlight, pretty much. And I take your hand and we go, like, not literally, metaphorically, I take your hand and we go into your subconscious mind together, find out where the blocks are, and do the transformational things. And I don't do anything. I just guide you to the next step because
okay.
of my training or through intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were saying about, like, stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think a really big one for Reiki is that it's, what would you call it? That it's not real, that it doesn't actually do anything, or that people who practice Reiki don't really practice Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of stories on social media platforms where, you know, someone says, oh, I went to a Reiki practitioner and it was this really weird experience or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, maybe they weren't really doing Reiki, but Reiki does work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different smaller studies. Even they did ones with during COVID with doing distance Reiki, which some
mm-hmm.
people have a hard time believing that Reiki can travel over distances to people, and it absolutely can. And that, you know, maybe people don't believe in energy healing, or maybe don't think it's for them, but it really is for everybody. And I've said before too, is that, you know, if you come and have a Reiki experience with me and for some reason it's not good, that would never happen. I make
yeah.
sure that it is good and that you feel safe and comfortable, but let's say hypothetically it wasn't good, it doesn't mean that the Reiki didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that that you didn't get any healing.
Mm-hmm.
You did. It might just mean that maybe I'm not the right practitioner for you at this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Reiki definitely does work, and it's I think it's sort of getting a little bit more attention these days as well. People
yeah.
are trying to sort out what it means for them. And so I'd always encourage somebody to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I personally have heard one or two people after they've had sessions with you,
mm-hmm.
maybe it was other practitioners here, but have talked to me and said how powerful of an experience it was. So,
that's good.
Yeah, it's good to
say. It's hard to describe when you have those, you know, really warm vibes.
Yeah, and I think... And I remember when I was first learning Reiki as well, and how just floored I was
mm-hmm.
with how intelligent the energy in our bodies are,
mm-hmm.
and how when you're working with it, how it can really tell a story. And also, and then you as the practitioner, you're in this state kind of reverence of whoever your client is,
mm-hmm.
and trying to help them become a better version of themselves or whatever they want to accomplish. And so I always very much appreciate any type of feedback I get,
yeah.
because although I know it worked, and although, you know, I know that I can feel the energy, I can see it changing, I can feel it moving. It's great to know that people have a good experience with me.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, talking about the energy in the body reminds me of something that you both said right before we were recording as well, and that was that the body itself is our subconscious mind.
Science is proving that more and more. And like, even when you think about like the placebo effect, you know, the power of your mind is pretty
intense.
Pretty strong. And the body is really intelligent. Like when you're out and about and you get like this gut feeling something's not right here, like and then you steer clear and you're like, you know, you find out later, oh wow, it's a good thing I listened to my gut, you know, they always say trust your gut. Well, that's a vibe too, right? Like
and the emotions and memories and everything are stored in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I work with EMDR and brain spotting therapies, and they also access a subconscious in a way. And people come for, like, old injuries or, you know, they might have past trauma that they want to work on, and the sensation in the body shows up in a place that is not in their head. It could be in a knee or a toe or a shoulder, but it's really fascinating to watch the body process that memory through a body part. We do store all the way through our body. And Roz, you were saying something about even people who have like transplants of organs or body parts, and the energy of the organ coming in doesn't always match, and that Reiki is even becoming more common in hospital settings.
Yes, that's true. So so it's starting to become more, we're starting to get a little bit of a foothold in Canadian hospitals, but if you look at hospitals in the US, Reiki is very common. I think even in the early 2000s, they were in over like 800 hospitals.
Uh-huh.
And Reiki practitioners not only helping patients, right? So I do volunteer at HSC here in Winnipeg, but I do Reiki for hospital staff.
Mm-hmm.
So anywhere from doctors to clerks to maintenance folks, they're welcome to have a short Reiki session just to help them relax and feel more back in tune with their body.
Mm-hmm.
But in the US, it's very common for people to have Reiki. There's volunteers who are in the hospital. I think some are actually also, there's a licensing movement happening in the US for Reiki practitioners as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that are happening there that are sort of shifting how people think about energy work. And yeah, like I said before, with doing Reiki, it can really help prepare the body for a lot of different things. So with energy work and clearing and releasing and then bringing in new energy, it can help prepare the body for things like operations, for people in the, Reiki practitioners in the US use Reiki a lot for helping people who are dealing with the effects of chemotherapy and radiation treatments and cancer and on oncology areas.
Mm-hmm.
It can really help also too with people who are getting transplants, because your own personal energy signature is your own. So when you're receiving a transplant from somebody else, they have a different energy signature. So Reiki can actually help release the energy, that person's specific energy signature from that organ, and help reintegrate that organ into your body so it matches more with your own energy signature.
That's
as well.
Fascinating.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, there's so many things that can be done with Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, like, I don't do it through here, but I also do Reiki for animals.
Oh,
nice. Because animals and anything living has its own energetic signature and can benefit from Reiki too. So yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, I think the reason why hospitals are bringing in, you know, some of these healing modalities such as Reiki or hypnotherapy is there's a lot going on in hospitals that can't be explained. There's lots of energies and spirits and stuff that, you know, people are like, what? And like, when people are like unconscious and stuff, sometimes their subconscious is more open and, you know, they could have a attachment or entity or whatever that they they don't necessarily want. And hypnotherapy has been good for that too. That if they feel like there's a spirit around them that they just really don't want, hypnotherapy can, easily get rid of those or send them to the light or to the earth or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
That helps clear it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And not only hospitals, but dentists too use hypnosis mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. help with pain management and even mm-hmm. putting people to sleep who can't do the other sleep
like,
stuff.
Can use anesthesia?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's everywhere.
And I mean, that's the thing about Reiki and theta healing too, is that like a lot, when I was training, a lot of the people in my classes were massage therapists or chiropractors. Mm. And maybe they don't advertise that they do Reiki, but they've learned more about energy and how energy works in the body and sometimes they even incorporate it into their practices as well to really create a deeper sense of healing, especially if the person has a bit of a high pain tolerance or does not have a high pain tolerance level or doesn't want a really deep tissue massage, but they know they have to get in there deep,
mm-hmm.
you can use Reiki to help with that too. Mm. So, yeah, it's really cool.
It is really cool. All right, any final thoughts from either of you?
Mm, just like the reason why people come to get hypnotherapy, it's usually either they want to access their subconscious and like get rid of a block, or they want to just bring something new into their life. Like sometimes the hypnosis sessions are just really fun and light and they're just like, I want more of this energy in my life, and so we bring in more joy and we, you know.
Oh, interesting.
We have really fun journeys, like
so like almost like a future planning type of, or
yes.
like a welcoming or opening oneself up to something
yeah
new.
Like if they're starting a new business and they want more ideas. Walt Disney himself, he used hypnosis. He used this boardroom table sort of visualization. He called it the CIA, the Council of Advisors. And so he brought in a very diverse group of, you know, six advisors in his imagination. They could be people dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
But he would just bring his ideas to the table and then go around and listen to all of their ideas. And that's how he came up with all of his stuff.
Wow, interesting.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
Huh.
I think for the folks that are interested in Reiki or Theta healing, people come to me for a variety of reasons. Reiki, it's a lot more about like managing stress, anxiety. I've had people who have insomnia come in, and Reiki can really help
mm-hmm.
with being able to release some of that
mm-hmm.
that is being stored in the body, and it creates space for new things, new experiences, new energy to come in that is more positive and not as stagnant or negative. And I think a theta healing session is very similar to hypnotherapy, as it is with the theta brain state as well. We do a little bit more investigating, seeing what those subconscious blocks are and releasing them. And then, you know, theta can do some really, really amazing things, not just with that, but we go and we do some journeys with like soul fragments, so bringing elements of, you know, where you might have given a bit of yourself to someone for too long, and cleaning that aspect, bringing it back into yourself, so you can feel more healthy and whole, and just a lot of additional aspects in theta healing, which are really neat. So things like you can do a guardian angel reading, so you can find a guardian angel to help what's happening, or you want to know a little bit more of your spirit family, you can do some sort of like past life regression, which you can do with hypnotherapy. So it's similar, the mechanism is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just generally on the whole, energy healing and energy work is really worth considering for anybody who's wanting to make a change or heal something in their life. So,
and also for panic attacks, often people don't know why they're getting them, and so this theta or hypnotherapy is a good way to figure out the source of where those are coming from, release those bubbles of emotion from the body, so that you don't have to be taken off guard with panic attacks.
Yeah, and even with Reiki too, you might recognize that one area of your body is just constantly in pain, or it flares up when you're feeling a certain emotion, And Reiki can help move that energy out as well, so that that area can fully sort of like heal, the muscles can sort of feel a little bit calmer, mm-hmm. and then we can figure out like where it's tied to. And I've had people where their heart chakra, like their heart energy is directly related to their knee.
Really?
Yes.
Is
yeah.
that common?
It can be, yeah. So or you know that saying, you wear your heart on your sleeve. I've had where it's just there's a direct heart line between somebody's arm and their heart chakra. So making sure that those things are reconnected and realigned and cleared and moving in the way that your energy should be is really important.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Mm. Well, thank you both so much for coming and talking to us about what you do and all the different ways that Reiki and Theta and hypnotherapy can help people.
I was also going to add, I have some free recordings online on my Instagram on Mindful Regeneration, that if you can't afford a session, you can listen to it. I have like one that's an hour long, one that's 2.5 hours long.
Ooh,
if you can't sleep, just plug that in and you'll be asleep in 5 minutes and good affirmations programmed into your mind.
And so that's at, on Instagram, at Mindful Regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Thanks very much.
That's so cool.
All right, you take care. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining our conversation today. If you would like to book a session, you can visit our website at safeharbortherapy.com or our booking page at safeharbor.jnapp.com. That's safeharbor.jnapp.com. For more info, or if you have questions or even suggestions for our podcast, you may write us at info@safeharbortherapy.com. We hope you'll join us again for our next conversation with Safe Harbor Therapy.